for the month of October, I am going to be ministering along the subject of the underworld. And we need insight into what is really going on. And this is going to help you gain some of that insight. So I want to just dive right in to this message today, or this teaching. I'm going to visit some theological concepts with you in this sermon series as we move forward. And I hope that it will enlighten you and be beneficial to your relationship with the Lord Jesus. So I've entitled this message today, Satan, the Prince of This World. So we're going to see some bad news before we get to the good news. But thank God that in the midst of bad news, there is good news. So we're going to first of all kind of consider the bad news. So three times in the Gospel of John, there is a reference, Jesus made a reference to Satan as the prince of this world. John 12:31, he said, now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. John 14:30, he said, I will not, he's speaking to the disciples, I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming, but he has no hold over me, no authority, no jurisdiction, is what Jesus was saying. John 16:11, he says, and about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. So three times here, Jesus made a reference to Satan as the prince of this world. So what does that really mean, and how does it affect you and I? Let's talk about it. First of all, let's zero in on that phrase, the prince of this world. That phrase comes from one single Greek word that simply means chief ruler, magistrate, first in political rank or power. Now think about that. So there's politics in the spirit realm. Now, that's food for thought right there. Prince of this world, chief ruler, magistrate, first in political rank or power. So three times in the Gospel of John, Jesus calls Satan the prince of this world. He was making a reference to the inhabitants of the world who are under the influence of Satan. So I want you to get that. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about the beauty of... How many of you know there's some beautiful places around the world? Beautiful places in America. I mean, we live in a world that is just beautiful. Even the book of Psalms says that the earth is a reflection of the fullness of God's glory. So we know he's not talking about the beauty of this world when he says the prince of this world. He is making a direct reference to the inhabitants, to the people of this world who are under Satan's influence. The scriptures teach us that all of the world's inhabitants are under the influence of Satan. Did you catch that? All of the inhabitants of this world are under the power and influence of Satan, with the only exception of those who have made Jesus Christ Lord. Those who are born again people of God. They are not under the influence of Satan. They are not under that spirit. They are under the Holy Spirit. And how many of you know there is a big, big difference? And the Word of God lets us know that there is no neutral ground. There's no neutral ground. So to be in Christ is to belong to Him. To be without Christ is to be under Satan's spell and deception. So that's why the Bible says the prince of this world. All of the inhabitants of this world are under his power. See, the world at large that is under Satan's power is in opposition and it is in contradiction to everything that is godly and morally upright. Are you with me? Everything. That's why we see such a breakdown today in family structure, because Satan is the instigator. He's the one who's behind all of it. See, the spirit of the world, let's define it, it's selfish pleasure, selfish lifestyles, and it is driven by a spirit of pride. It's all under the control of the prince of this world. Now, Paul reminded believers in Ephesians 2 that at one time they were under this power of sin and darkness. At one time, I was under that power of sin and darkness. At one time, you were under that power of sin and darkness. We were under the control of this demonic entity. Let's visit how Paul describes it in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, "And you he made alive." Thank you, Jesus. I am alive. Hallelujah. He says, "He made you alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins, in which at one time you walked habitually." In other words, you did it every day. I want to rock and roll all night and party every day. Some of y'all know that song. I know you do. That's what he's talking about. We lived habitually under his influence. He says you are following the course and the fashion of this world. Look at this. You are under the sway of the tendency of this present age. Following, check this out, following the prince of the power of the air. So we were following him. Didn't even know it. Look at this. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons or the children of disobedience. The careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving, who are going against the purposes of God. Among these, we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh. Our behavior was governed by our corrupt and sensual nature. Look at this. Obeying the impulses of the flesh. How many of you know the flesh is impulsive? He says we were obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind. Our cravings dictated by our senses, we have five senses, and our dark imaginings. Boy, I know this is a lot to digest here, so go home and study it later today or later in the week, because there's so much truth that is presented in these verses. So notice what he says next. We were then, at that time, we were by nature children of God's wrath. And we were heirs of his indignation, just like the rest of mankind. So that, my friend, describes it. He defines it. Paul lays it out in plain and simple terms that those believers, all those who are believers now, before they were believers, they were under the control of this demonic entity, just like the inhabitants of the world are. That's why we have to preach the gospel, so that people can be saved, so that people can get out from under that influence and they can come into the light. Now, let me just kind of zero in on something right here in these verses. I want you to notice the words "course of this world." He says that we were following the course and the fashion of this world. What that means, the words course of this world, it means the current or the flow. That's what it means. So there is what Paul is teaching here is that there is a strong current that flows against and it is in contradiction to the will of God. And don't we see it all around us, right? We see it all around us. Paul is telling the church that at one time they were in the flow of the devil's plan. They were in his flow. He says they were under his control, the demon spirit of disobedience. Now remember, prince means a ruler who is first in rank and position. So Satan, as a prince, is over an entire realm of demon spirits that he uses to exercise his authority in the earthly realm. He's the chief ruler. Now, the word power in Ephesians 2, it means authority, influence, jurisdiction. Remember, in the temptation in the wilderness, Satan offered Jesus power. He offered him authority. Temptation in the wilderness. Satan has authority over lost humanity who are in bondage to him because of sin's control. And that's why I always say this. Whenever someone is dealing with an addiction, whether it's a money addiction, whether it's a sex addiction, an alcohol addiction, a drug addiction, you're not just dealing with a physical issue. You are dealing with a demonic entity that is behind it. And that's why it's so hard to break. That's why it's so hard for people to find freedom and liberty. Because it's really not a disease. It's a bondage. See, the world will say it's a disease. I don't find that in the Bible. I'm going to give you what the Bible says. And the Bible says that it's a bondage. Jesus is the one who breaks the bondage. He is the bondage breaker. Now, thank God, praise the name of Jesus, that the authority of Satan over believers was broken at the cross and by his resurrection. This is why Paul said, at one time you walked according to the flow of this world. I was in the flow. I was in the current, but not any longer. Hallelujah. See, now we have been made alive. Now we are in the flow of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Now you stand in the authority of Jesus Christ. To those who are in Christ, they are under the flow of the Holy Spirit. To those who are not in Christ, guess what? They are under the demonic spirit of disobedience. But the good news of the gospel is that it can be broken. You don't have to be under it any longer. So again, Ephesians 2:2, in which you once walked, you followed the ways of this world, influenced by this present age, in accordance with the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in the disobedient. So let's zero in on another phrase right here. Let's take that phrase, the spirit that works in the disobedient. That's a very important phrase. Going back to the Greek language, what that means is that phrase, the spirit that works in the disobedient, it means to be operative or to be energized. Now think about that. Operative or energized by a demon spirit of disobedience. How many of you know there's some crazy things going on in this world? Just reading a news article in Florida. A man goes to a mechanic shop. This mechanic shop had worked on his car 2 years ago. 2 years. He goes to this mechanic shop because 2 years later, the car is not operating right. And he goes with a gun to kill the owner. So he goes to this mechanic shop, pulls out a gun, shoots the owner of the shop. Well, it just so happened the owner had his own gun. He pulls out his gun. I guess it was like an old scene from a Western film, you know? So they both get shot, and they both die. Now, we have to ask, what really fueled that? So I think we go to the scripture right here, the spirit that works in the disobedient. So this demon spirit, prince of the power of the air, as he says here, the spirit that is working in the disobedient. So there it is. He's operative and he energizes people to commit evil. I mean, we could talk about instance of violence after instance of violence after instance of violence over and over and over and over again. What's the explanation for it? See, politicians can't solve the problem because it's not solved by political structure or political change. There's only one thing that can solve it, and it's the gospel. And again, that's why we preach it. That's why we declare it. Because what we're dealing with is a spirit world problem. So politicians, unless they are born again Christians, they're not going to understand that. They're not going to really understand what is happening. But this is to me, this is such an explanation. We are living in a world that is filled with so much evil because people are demonically energized. That's what the Bible is teaching us. Remember, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is the prince of this world. But how and why did he become this prince of evil? So now we're going to dive into theological concepts. I want to take you back to the time before the earth was created. I want to take you back to the time before Adam and Eve lived on the earth. I want to take you back into eternity past. And I want to visit with you a biblical story about the anointed cherub that covers the throne of God. And we read about this. See, the Bible tells us that at one time, Satan was the guardian or protector of the throne of God. Now think about that. The scripture says that he was perfect in all of his ways from the day he was created until iniquity was found in him. Now that is something that theologians and Bible teachers and Bible commentators have debated for a long time. How was that possible? I don't think we really have all the answers or explanations for that, but it is what happened. The Bible tells us that at one time, Satan was the guardian, the protector. Let's visit it, Ezekiel 28. Now, in Ezekiel 28, and the next one that I'm going to visit with you in the book of Isaiah, both of these are written historically to the kings. We have the king of Babylon in the book of Isaiah, the king of Tyre in the book of Ezekiel. But there is always, throughout Scripture, a dual reference to Satan's influence. Remember, he's working behind the scenes, right? He's energizing. For an example, Jesus rebuked Peter, right? And he rebuked Satan in Peter or influencing Peter, right? He stood against it. So we have examples of that, and this is one of those examples. Historically, biblically, in Ezekiel 28, It's directed towards the king of Tyre. But as we read it, we understand that it's going beyond the king and it's going to the spirit that's at work in nations, in leaders. Because remember, all the inhabitants of the world are under his power. All right, so listen to this. He says, you were the created cherub who covers. The king of Tyre surely was not that, right? But Satan was. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till, here it is, till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence. Violence. Think of the violence that we see in America right now. Worse than it's ever been, right? I mean, worse than it has ever been. I mean, it is unbelievable what people are doing today. But here again, see, we go back. Remember, all the inhabitants, they are demonically energized. They are operative under the spirit of disobedience. So right here, what is God saying happened to Satan, who was at that time known as Lucifer? He became filled with violence. There again, how do we explain that? See, it's one of those mysterious things that we really don't have all the explanation for. He says, but by the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. See, all of these portrayals and pictures of Satan, red horns, that's not what he looks like. No, the Bible says that he is a beautiful created being. It's what the scripture is telling us. But it says he was lifted up because of that beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. Satan was a created being who was given a great position over the throne of God. In him was wisdom and beauty. His position was an exalted one on the holy mountain of God. Think of it. He was an anointed cherub, an angelic winged being that was associated, are you ready for this? With praise and worship. Notice what Job describes here in the Old Testament book of Job. Job 38:7. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Historically, morning stars are referred to, and sons of God all referred to as created beings. The morning stars refers to created spirit beings along with angels who sang and shouted unto God. I mean, think of it today. What book of Isaiah, right? Prophet had the vision. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And all of the angelic beings, holy, 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 holy. They're worshiping. They're singing praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We go to the book of Revelation. What do we see? They're casting, you know, the people gathered around the throne, the redeemed, they're casting their crowns. But surrounding that throne, all of the angelic beings are also, what are they doing? He's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the beginning, he's the end. What are they doing? They are praising, they are worshiping, they are exalting the name of the Lord. That is exactly what the Bible says Satan was created for. Praise and worship. But history tells us that there was an event that happened in eternity past, a time before the creation of the human race, where sin came in. Sin was already existing before it came into the world through Adam's disobedience. because Lucifer was the first one who sinned. So a time before the creation of the human race. Now, because verse 4 declares that God laid the foundation of the earth before Job was. So we know that that takes us back before the creation of the world. Because he says that it was before. Let me visit this one with you, Job 38, 4 to 7. He says, God says, this is God speaking to Job. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? In other words, the Creator is declaring that He is the Creator. He's the one that did it, that laid the foundation. He's the one that did it all. He said, to what were its foundations fastened, or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Wow. So according to these biblical statements, we learn that there was a spiritual world long before there was a natural world. Are you still with me? Yes. Long before the natural world. And Satan, who was called Lucifer, son of the morning, was given a very powerful position. He was first in rank and in power. He is called Lucifer, son of the morning. He was a participant in the glory of God. Now think of that. Lucifer was a participant in the glory of God. And the Bible says that he dwelt in Eden, the garden of God. The Hebrew word for Eden communicates the idea of an atmosphere of glory. So the garden of God means the atmosphere of His presence. So what does the Bible say in the book of Romans about Adam's sin? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory. Because Satan was cast out, Adam obeyed Satan, and what happened to him? Cast out. The atmosphere of glory. Sin separates us from the atmosphere of glory. Are you still with me? I know I'm giving you some theological things here today, but let me keep moving forward. Let me talk about the fall of the anointed cherub as we kind of bring this to a conclusion. In Isaiah chapter 14, he says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation of the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Notice what he says. I will. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will. Are you still with me? Not my will, but thine be done. Hallelujah. See, the word says that Lucifer said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like, and remember, stars of God, we're talking about angelic beings there. He's not talking about the universe. He's not talking about the stars and the planets that are cast in the heavens. He's talking about created beings. He said, I will be like the Most High. Lucifer was appointed to rule the earth as a subordinate to God, but he wanted to do it independently of God. So he put his will above the will of God. And my friend, that is where sin began. So in exalting himself, Lucifer became Satan, which means adversary. Oh my. So to justify himself, he made accusations against God. So then he became the devil, which means slanderer, accuser. Have you ever had somebody, you ever maybe as a believer, you know, maybe in the workplace or maybe even among your family, maybe you just had a little slip up one time. You know, maybe you let out a little curse word or something. You know, or maybe you acted where you shouldn't have acted. And then all of a sudden somebody will say, I thought you were a Christian. Anybody ever had that experience? Well, remember, the inhabitants of the world, they're demonically energized, right? So they're looking for every opportunity to make accusation, because that's what the word devil means. It means slanderer or accuser. Matthew chapter 12, verse 10, Jesus is touching people. He's healing people. And the Bible says there's a man there with a withered hand. It says there was a man who had a withered hand, so asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath that they might accuse him? So here's a man that needs a healing. They don't care if he's healed or not. If he's healed, they're going to make an accusation. If there's a miracle that takes place, they're going to make an accusation. Why would they do that? Because they are under, remember, the inhabitants are under demonically energized under the influence of Satan. See, it was rebellion that caused Satan to be kicked out of the realm of heaven. Prideful rebellion was now in him, and God initiated judgment upon him. Satan deceived Eve in the garden, and Adam transgressed because he chose the devil's side. See, the act of disobedience is always an act of rebellion. Never forget that. Rebellion began in Satan. That's why it's linked to, are you ready for this? That's why it's linked to witchcraft. So we read this in 1 Samuel 15. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness. You bunch of stubborn people. We're all stubborn people. My wife always tells me I'm hard-headed. I said, we're all hard-headed. Right? We want to do it our way. We got it all figured out, right? It's in our nature. You can thank your good buddy Adam for that. But the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is like iniquity and idolatry. And because you have, this is what God told King Saul, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. My friend, there are only two sources of spiritual power, God and Satan. That's it. So to seek spirituality, stay with me on this, to seek spirituality from any other source than God is idolatry. Witchcraft is Satan's realm. Any practice that dabbles in a power source other than God is witchcraft. To do such is to reject God. That's why it's linked to rebellion. And all of the inhabitants of the world, they are demonically energized by Satan. I was watching the news this past week. This guy, Metairie, that put up this Halloween decoration. People are up in arms about it. All the Catholic community, man, they're up in arms. You know, because it's got, it's a pretty elaborate display. And it shows Satan at the top, and Jesus has been decapitated by the devil. And, you know, here's my take on that Halloween display. He just needs to reverse the roles. Make it biblically accurate. Now, no, don't go out of here saying I'm endorsing Halloween decorations. But, I mean, if he would do it that way, then he would be more in line with Scripture. But people don't think like that unless they are under the Holy Spirit. Are you still with me? See, we are dealing with a spirit world that is very, 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 very real. And it influences every area of society. And that's why we see things that are happening in our world at such an alarming rate, because there's a devil on the loose. And he's wreaking havoc in people's lives. Because remember, the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. All right, here's my final thought that I want to submit to you today. And here's where we get to the really good news. Because remember, Lucifer was the anointed cherub over the throne of God. It's what we just read in Scripture. But believers are now the anointed. Check this out in Ephesians 2:5. Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. For it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. Now here's the shouting part, hallelujah. And he raised us up together with him, and he made us sit together. Now remember, Satan was over the throne. What is this saying? He's saying we have been enthroned. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? This is powerful. He has made us sit together, joint seating with him in the heavenly realm by virtue of our being in Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Hallelujah. The good news of the gospel is telling us that we do not have to fight for freedom from Satan. Freedom has already been secured by the death of Christ on the cross. It is already secured by the triumphant resurrection. We are already free. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Now, my friend, that is good news. We don't have to be under his power. But we do have to walk this liberty out on a daily basis. We have to walk it out in the power of his anointing. So because of what Jesus did, Satan has no authority over us. That's why I say, get out of here, slewfoot. Hallelujah. You have no jurisdiction. Paul stated in Ephesians 2 that at one time we belonged to the devil, but we are no longer his. We have now been exalted positionally with Christ. Now think about that. He was the anointed cherub that covers. Jesus is now the anointed one. So if I am connected to him, as Paul said, I'm a joint heir. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So I have everything as the anointed one, because the anointing flows from the head down. So that's why I got to stay connected to the head. That's why the Bible says Christ is the head of the body. He's the head of the church, and the anointing flows down. So because I am now exalted positionally with Christ as a believer, I am now enthroned positionally with Christ. So then 1 John 5:18, and I'll leave you with this one right here. 1 John 5:18 says, no one who has become part of God's family makes a practice of sinning. For Christ, God's Son, holds him securely, and the devil cannot get his hands on him. Hallelujah. As Paul said, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to the only wise God, be glory and honor forever and ever.